Hi, Stephen. I am so happy to speak with you about werewolves. This is a real ride. I'm a big admirer of your work anyway.
Oh, thank you.
I loved Escape Plan 2. I just love all those Escape Plan movies. But I love Escape Plan 2, Hades, First Kill, Silent Night, your version, your 2012 version is just spectacular. And as a matter of fact, it is in my viewing queue over the next couple weeks because you can't have.
As it should be, holidays, that's so
Of course, that's good for me all year long, but that is
cool.
definitely right in there with the Hallmark movies.
That's awesome.
But I just so admired your work. And now to see what you have done with werewolves, this is really, you pushed the envelope with this one. And I've never seen Grillo like this before. I've seen him go balls to the wall and go off the deep end in psychotic moments. But to see him here and your transformations, spectacular.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to get Grillo in the movie. He was really cool. He loved doing it. He said yes like right away. He really wanted to have fun with the movie. He's just a great guy.
I've spoken with Frank many times over the years, and he's worked with director friends of mine. He's a go-to guy, and he just gives it his all. And boy, does he give it his all with this one. But I'm curious, Matthew Kennedy wrote this script. Again, I'm an admirer of Matthew's work, what he did with Inheritance and the tension builder that that was a few years ago with Lily Collins in it. Of course, now we have a new Inheritance that's coming out, but it has nothing to do with that one. All these same titles get confusing. So I know he can write tension really well, but you've got to have somebody who can bring that to life on the screen and execute it. And you certainly do that here with werewolves. So I'm curious, once you got the script, Stephen, where did you start breaking this one down? Because this is such a visual and visceral movie. And it's at night.
I think I had to start, like it is. It's visual. It's very kinetic, which is sort of my like calling card. I love kineticness. I love movies that have a pace. I love movies that sort of just don't let go until the end of the movie. So, really, we started just breaking down the action and understanding. Okay, we have this much action, and then you got to break down the werewolves, and then you got to try to figure out how do you marry the two with practical werewolves, because we knew we wanted to do practical and we knew we wanted them to do as much action as possible. So it came down to us breaking down script with, action, werewolves, the stunt coordinator, our effects coordinator, puppeteering guys, because they're running all the animatronics and the puppeteering on the side. So you can plan all the action you want, but if you forget those guys are over there having to puppeteering, it gets bad because they might be in the shot, right? So you really have to start breaking down, and it's almost like a delicate balance, a ballet, if you will, of trying to get all of these elements to work while, you're blowing things up or rain or whatever else is going on. So it's just a massive undertaking to break down.
Yeah, you brought in everything here. We're shooting at night. Were you shooting night for night on this one?
We were night for night. I remember Frank. Frank came in and he was like, "So, do we really have to shoot nights?" And I was like, "It's a werewolf movie, Frank. Yeah, we're going all night." He had a good laugh about it. But yeah, we were mainly nights, except for the interiors with the family, which we were able to
Sure.
shoot on a stage. But everything else was night for night.
Oh my God. And then you throw in the rain, and then something that is a huge element of this film is Tyler Herron's production design. Wow. Wow, Stephen.
Yeah, he's fantastic, and if you know Tyler's work, which is really cool, is he also worked on the Muppets for
Yep.
Apple TV, and he just crushes that kind of. So he really understands where to put people in a frame, how to have that frame look really well, as far as all of the stuff that needs to be inside this. And I'm just a huge fan of filling the frame with as much shit as possible, and he just really does a great job at that.
He truly does. I mean, I've seen that in so much of his work, like Supergirl, The Flash. He was production designer on every single one, on every episode of those series. And then, of course, Fraggle Rock, which I think working with Muppets does give him a leg up in working with werewolves.
Yes, I agree.
But the detail and what is what he designs and brings into play, be it within the house or out on the streets or in the lab. In the house, which was on, as you said, on a set, that is so critical in the story, with hitting those beats as to insulating themselves, trying not to be invaded by the werewolves. Everything has a purpose wherever it is in the house. Yeah. And
and that's something we talked about really early on, was really, you know, trying to give the movie some backstory without having to tell backstory. Mm-hmm. We were really trying to allow people to look at the sets or the locations and really grasp and understand what has happened before or what these people have been going through the year before to get to this point without us having to do big, long exposition. You know, me and Tyler really talked about how could we get that across in the actual, production design, which is something I thought he did fantastically.
I'm really impressed. And the exteriors as well, running through the city or dodging and hiding, and all of the large dumpsters or the pieces of metal Quonset hut type elements that get thrown in there. And of course, the yard with the gate and the electrical pole that's coming down. A lot of people are going to see that, and they're not even going to know what it is because they're not old enough to know what that is. But that's always a thrill to see in anything, even in real life, to see one of those come down and then have sparks flying everywhere. But he really did an amazing job of populating the story. And I love that you don't have to focus on the exposition, and you can really just focus on what is happening in front of us. What are those visuals? And hand in hand, the visual tonal bandwidth that you and your DP, Brandon, come up with. I love Brandon's work. I loved what he did on Cosmic Sin and Gasoline Alley. I love what the two of you have designed here. So I'm curious.
Thank you.
What were your considerations in designing the visual grammar for werewolves, including the all-important nighttime color palette? Because you very importantly distinguish your inky blue blacks of exterior night with the laboratory and the black that goes into negative space on the interior. So talk to me about that, because I think your visual grammar and the lighting is stupendous.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Brandon is just a super good talent. I mean, the guy understands camera. He understands how to place a character in the camera. He understands how to light. He really knows how to bring out a dynamic sort of feel in the movie. We looked at movies like Underworld, the first Underworld, the first Blade. We looked at those kind of movies that, you know, almost late 90s, early 2000s. Kind of action horror things that we really loved, and you know, we kind of snuck in things like Blade Runner because we're just huge fans of 80s movies like Blade Runner that just feel like soaked in authenticity. When it comes to camera and production and lighting, and everything feels very practical, even though it's Hollywood lit, but it just, it has a texture to it that you can almost touch. And we felt like, well, we're gonna have these real werewolves on set where that kind of texture, we really want the lighting and the camera to really have that same kind of texture. So those were things we were looking at to sort of blend and try to get it into a modern era type picture. So that to us was really important, and we really strive to do something cool. So I'm super happy to hear that you loved that part of it, because that's something that I think Brandon absolutely nailed.
He really did, and I particularly like inside the house with the placement of the pop-up lights. And where they are, and where you're placing them. And you're relying on practical, and then maybe a table lamp over here, or a computer screen until that disappears, thanks to those nasty werewolves outside, particularly Cody. But the placement of practical lighting is so key, and it really adds another layer of detail to what's unfolding that shows how invested Wesley and Lucy, how invested they are in protecting Emma, protecting the house. They're planning very thoughtfully where you put these things. So that attention to detail comes through, but to incorporate those practical lights in the design, that is so smart. So smart. And I just love it.
You know, that's it's a really wild thing because in pre-production, you know, we were talking about how we get the movie to keep continually to get darker without obviously losing lights. And me and Brandon, well, really it was Tyler Herron's production design. He had those lights, those pop-up lights. Mm-hmm. He had them on our desks. And we were just kind of playing with them, like, these are really great lights. And Brandon was like, dude, what if we just lit the whole movie at the end with these lights? And I was like, wow, that's like a really clever, fun, sort of, you know, gripping idea. How do we do it? And then, you know, we just kind of looked at the script and it really fit. That felt like they would have had these things there. They would have talked about if the power goes out, this is what we're going to do. So for me, it really was pretty awesome that to see Brandon come up with this and really have fun with it. And again, it's just sort of a team effort, right? You mm-hmm. have Tyler who brings something to the table, Brandon who sort of suggests that I'm saying this is a great idea, and we all as a team decide this is going to be really cool. So, you know, that's a lot of werewolves in the movie in general. It's a team effort, everyone doing their job to the highest degree. And allowing me to really focus on just making the movie.
Again, Brandon, with the exterior lighting, that plays in so well as you're making digital use of the moon and the shadows of the moon, and we're waiting for the sun to come up. But you've got some street lights that are just one blaring light, not the beautiful diffuse light that we used to see in the 50s and 60s, but the starker LED GE high bright white light outside, placed very strategically, so that you're always creating shadow. And we're not really getting a full look at the werewolves in great detail that's slow enough to really absorb it until we work up to that climactic third act.
Right.
And the showdown between Wesley and Cody, which I got to say, I was laughing through a lot of it because you're looking at the makeup that's on Cody as a werewolf. And it's just like, oh my God. So we transform and then we're looking at Grillo as he transforms and he's so fit and he has a narrow waist. Well, he keeps that in his transformation. I just fell in love with the practical werewolves that you designed. So talk to me.
Thank you.
Because the lighting, the lensing had to be built around the size and scope of these werewolves as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it really did. And it all comes down to Alec Gillis and Tom Woodrow who built these things, who understand this kind of a genre. They really understand werewolves. They understand monsters. The guys created, you know, Pumpkinhead and Alien and Predator. They're legends. They know what they're doing. So I was always leaning on them saying, hey look, I'm gonna shoot A, B, C, D. We're gonna look at it this way. We're gonna have this lens on now. How does this feel? And they were very candid. They would give me their feedback. We don't know if that lens is going to work. We don't know if that angle is going to work. Maybe we suggest here. And again, it comes down to just me understanding that in these kind of situations, it's really the best idea the room wins. Because we want the movie to be great, and I want the movie to feel authentic, and I want the wolves to feel authentic, and I want them to feel as big as possible. So, you know, I was really relying on our monster guys to give me the best possible, you know, leg up to make them move, to make them look great. And so that's what I really leaned on. And then we just kept kind of fine-tuning that as the movie went on. And really, we sort of really grabbed it towards the middle of the movie. And we're like, okay, now we really got it. Which is sort of why we sort of pitched that we kind of put the house stuff up front early in the movie, knowing we didn't have a ton that we could kind of start to get to the werewolf stuff for a night outside later shooting. So we were really honed in on the werewolf. That's really why, you know, that's what took us some really great action there.
I love the fact that we don't get full views and really detailed looks at the werewolves, because you're building the suspense the whole time. We're seeing the fangs, the jaw, he's going to eat grandmother, so to speak, but we're seeing the bits and pieces, and then we're seeing the fangs, the claws.
Right.
And you're just showing us little things, and that always, very Hitchcockian, let the imagination do its job. You don't need to show it.
I think that's important on these kind of movies. You got to give them enough to where they feel satisfied, right? And they walk out going, oh man, I saw the wolf. But in reality, they didn't. You gave them enough to where their mind sort of fills in the blanks, and they're then thinking about it the whole time going, oh wow, we saw a lot of werewolves. You know, that's the beauty of filmmaking, is that you can give the audience just enough for their brain to start to fill in the rest, and then you can keep going. So to me, that was important for the movie.
Well, and you went right down to the detail of having dog tags, Wesley's dog tags, still hanging around his neck as a werewolf, which I really got a kick out of, just like Cody and his werewolf killing suit. The pieces of that were still on him after his transformation. How many practical werewolves did you have in this film?
We only had 6 suits, so we had to make it feel like 100. And that's really why I leaned on personalization and really tried to focus on giving each wolf its own personal style and feel. So that way, you know, we could really start to separate them so they didn't start to feel like they were looking all the same. And I really hadn't seen a werewolf movie that gave you that much personality in the werewolf. So it was important for me that the human they were sort of fused with the werewolf, and we got a beautiful blend. Even though they're full wolf, you still got a blend of that human in there somewhere, whether it's the hair or the piercing or what they're wearing or that sort of thing, that just really kind of try to elevate what that werewolf would be.
And this is where your costume design, whoever thought costume design would come into play on dressing werewolves. But it definitely does here when we're downtown and we're seeing the werewolves, you know, who's got the piercings and color in the fur and the black leather motorcycle jacket with studs on it. I love the individuality, and it lets us track who and where these werewolves are.
Right.
But the individuality, right. I don't recall ever seeing a movie with werewolves where we had this happening. I love talking to you, Stephen, about this film. My God, we could go for hours
you're
on this
excited.
One.
It has me excited. Go ahead. Sorry.
So, since I have a last question, I've got to ask you, this really, I think, is the grandest, biggest scope film that you've done. You've got so many more moving parts here and such a different kind of moving parts. You had a lot of moving parts in Escape Plan 2. You had a lot of moving parts with Silent Night, a lot of action. First Kill, obviously, with Bruce Willis. It was a lot of action, but a very personal story. This is so much larger than what I've seen in your repertoire. What did you learn about yourself as a filmmaker in making werewolves, bringing this to life so beautifully and viscerally that you will now take forward into your future projects?
That's a great question. You know, I feel like I really learned how to hone in the action, because when you're dealing with action, you know, you can kind of get a little bit wild and start shooting all different kinds of things that you might not need. With werewolves, I really felt like I finally started to hone in on exactly what I needed. And I think that sort of starts to elevate your game a little bit when you know exactly what you're shooting, exactly the timing, and exactly how to move throughout the set. You start to really feel it. And I felt it on this movie. I felt like I had that growth of now I'm really understanding how to shoot this action, how to shoot the horror, and sort of start to put it all together. So, you know, I'm really hoping going into the next one that just carries on and just becomes even more of a honing skill. But that to me is what I felt like I was taking away.
Well, you did a fantastic job with this one. I don't think I've ever said in my life, this is a werewolf movie that is beautiful. It's beautiful when you look at it. And that's thanks to the color, the cinematography, the production design. It's horrific. It's terrifying, but it's so beautiful to look at.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy you love the movie. We love making the movie. We made it for people to enjoy and have a good time in the theater. So, you know, please get people out, go see the movie, get out on Rotten Tomatoes or Letterboxd, whatever they're on, just, you know, rate the movie.
Well, I was actually at my local bar last night. I was already talking about this film to all the people that I've known for decades were in there. And they're all like, ooh, where can we see it? Where can we see it? So I start with human connection and threatening their lives if they don't go see it.
That's right.
So
tell them we will bite you.
That's it.
Bye, Debbie. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.